Thanks for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and to make Him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I sincerely hope you enjoy this week's content.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for being with us. We start right now a Welcome Home series for 2020. We do it every year, actually. It's usually after the summer comes and kids are going back to school, but of course, this is like no other year. But we want to go ahead and do this. This year has more significance. And I want to talk to you for the next 3 weeks about what we think, and we call them by shapes, three expressions of our faith that we see here at Streams. We talk about rows, we're going to talk about circles, and we're going to talk about crosses. Today, we're talking about rows. And if you've ever been in a church that has pews, you get this idea of what I'm talking about. There's just rows. They're larger gatherings where we worship together. We hear an anointed specific word, usually from a father of the family or somebody that's an elder that's for our church family. It's a place where we allow for the expressions of the gifts of the Spirit. And we give a room for the fivefold ministry to minister freely. It's a highly interactive worship service that can be somewhat passive in its learning. During this time that we've sort of been in isolation, I've heard the concern of older believers my age and older, and they say this: if we don't reopen, younger families will get out of the habit of attending church. And let me say a couple things about this. I realize that church was never closed. I want to make that a great point. We've always been open. We just haven't been meeting in an on-person gathering. Church is a group of people who've decided to love each other, who've decided to follow Jesus together, who've decided to live on mission together. But when we, I'm talking about the old people, say go to church, we actually mean going to a building. And so when I go, say, I might say just go to church, I'm in it. It might be improper, but what I mean is physical, personal, corporate services here at Streams Church. And if I say go to church, you can say, okay, boomer, meaning that you're the old guy, all right? That's why old guys like me like wearing this stuff to make us look like we're cool and hip. It's the beginning of football season. We're pretty excited. Chiefs won Thursday night. Cardinals are going to win the day. And everybody said, amen, right? So going to church, it's been a phrase that I grew up with. And it's important to us, and you got to realize the context for this. In my experience, and many people my age, going to that Sunday morning expression, going to church, is where our lives change. It's where I came to faith in Christ. It's a place where I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I received a calling into ministry and that type of service. When I was young, I went to a big church here in town, a mega church called the Valley Cathedral. At the Valley Cathedral, we had three services on Sunday morning, a Sunday night service, and two on Wednesday night. I went to all three services on Sunday morning. One service was a group of people my age, a high school group. I taught sixth grade boys in another service, and then I went to the main sanctuary service. Then on Sunday night was my favorite service because that was the people that I was close to. We all worshiped together, and usually afterwards we went out for food or ice cream or we had fun together. Then on Wednesday nights, I again met with a group my age, a high school group, and then went to a sort of a Bible class, how to learn how to do your finances or something like that from the scripture. So I went to church 6 times a week. And for me, my mom was a single mother. I was an only child. I couldn't wait to go to church. My friends were at church. My family was at church. I found mentors for me personally as a young man who didn't have a father at church. I found men who were willing to pour into my life so I could become the minister that I am today at those church services. And so that's why the boomers are saying we're concerned. And there's a scripture that goes along with this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together," listen to this, "as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Experts say that it takes 21 days to create a habit. I was looking up this Sunday. Some of us not me, but some of you that are in isolation right now, it's been more than 21 Sundays since you've been to church. And I get it. And I get there are people who are at risk. I bet there are people that immune systems. Trust me, we love you. We care for you. We can't wait to see you. That's why we're putting out a live stream soon. That's why we have these services. You're part of our family. But those of you who are able, I think it's really important right now for your children, for your youth especially, and for you. There's something powerful about corporate gatherings that we've been missing during this time. And what I've learned during this time is there's just some things I can't replace. One of the things I can't replace is just the power of Holy Spirit when we come together and worship together. There's just something, you can't get that online. One day heaven's going to be just an example. We're just got a little taste that there'll be just one big worship service. Let me read to you Revelation chapter 5, and verses 11 through 14. Now, John who wrote this book, he knew what it was to be in isolation. He was all alone in the island of Patmos. He was exiled there because of his faith. And he was in isolation so long, he started having these wild dreams that you find in the book of Revelation. I feel the same way when I was in isolation, all of a sudden these crazy things and thoughts. But anyway, this was anointed by Holy Spirit. He's having all these dreams. So in isolation, he writes this. Then I looked, he's seen this vision, and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne, the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and forever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. I can only imagine how glad his heart was to see this, a man that's been alone for so long, the power of worship. In fact, Psalms 22, verses 3 through 5 says, "You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel," or we could say the praises of your people. "Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced." You cannot replace the power that happens in corporate worship. And I really believe that God sits on the throne, that the lordship of Jesus sometimes is received in those moments when we're singing out, "Holy, holy, holy. You are like no other God." We can't replace that at home. And the second reason that I think these gatherings or rows are really important is you get an incomplete picture. You get an unbalanced diet, unhealthy growth without being involved in a larger community, larger church gathering community. What would your body look like and what would you feel like if for the rest of your life, all you ate was In-N-Out Burger, double-double, animal style, fries, and a chocolate shake? I mean, how would you feel? Like, what would you look like? I don't know, but let's give it a try, right? Here's what I know. People gravitate to people who think and act like them. So I love circles. We're going to talk about circles next week. Circles are avenues of discipleship, but this is what I know. When people get into smaller groups, they typically gravitate towards people that are just like them. And Ephesians 4 says this in 11 through 13. "It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So in other words, if you don't have all this on your plate, you'll never get to a place of fullness and maturity. And I know evangelists love to hang out with evangelists and talk about all their evangelism. Man, they get all jacked up about it. They're excited. Teachers love to hang out with teachers and study each little Greek word, and they feel all empowered by that. But Ephesians says this: you need the fivefold ministry to become mature. And I've yet to see many circles that really have that in power, the fivefold. And if you only hang out with people that are just like you, according to the scripture, you're going to be stunted and immature, and you'll look like you've just been eating in and out all the time. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 speaks to the church has many parts of the body. It has the eye and the hands and the feet. And they can't say to one another, well, I don't need you, or I don't need you. And Paul gives in Corinthians a leadership order. He says, first, there are apostles. Second, there are prophets. Apostles are like fathers or leaders or the caretakers of the church or the ministry. Second, prophets who speak the word of God for this present moment. There's the prophetic words that they're giving. They're encouraging. The word of prophecy is encouraging. And then third are teachers. And then it says this. He lumps the rest together. Then miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of helping others, the gift of leadership, the gift of serving, the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, showing kindness, and those who speak in unknown languages. And that's why it streams. We have many speakers in speaking on Sunday morning, speaking here. I want to thank everybody that we have. They've covered me for the last couple of weeks. I've been sort of a pain, headache funk. If you know me long enough, you know I sort of suffer these things. But they've covered for the last 4 weeks. And the word of God has gone forward in strength. But I really believe this. Many voices really make up the voice of God for us. But yet there still is a leadership order to the church. They're not more important. It's just the gifting they have. And first, there's an apostle. And I think everybody needs sort of that fatherly leadership figure in their life. And prophets and teacher. Every flock needs a shepherd. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 5, he tells him, hey, listen, I'm leaving. I'm going to heaven. He's basically on his last leg. And he says, listen, now it's your job. And he tells him what his job is as an apostle over the churches. I give you this charge. Chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Interesting thing was Paul was considered to be a very timid person, raised by a grandmother and a mother. And so Paul is saying, hey, but this is your job, right? And you can't get that at just In-N-Out Burger. You need to someone to say in your life, quit eating double doubles all the time. You need that person that they correct and rebuke and instruct. And what I found, there's not a lot of people with that calling. And lastly, what I think is really important is the early church continued to go to the synagogue on a daily basis. If you read Acts chapter 2, it says that they did. If you read Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple as they did every day to the synagogue. And that's when they saw the man begging and he rose up, the lame man, and he said, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ be risen. But it said every day at this time they were going to the synagogue. And why? Well, the synagogue to them was a place of prayer. It was a place of teaching. It was a place of social gathering. They believed that Christianity was just an extension of their Jewish faith. They held the traditions of their Jewish faith in high regards. It's where they at first found God. It's the place where they learned about the Messiah that was coming. It's the place that they later shared Christ with unbelievers. And the synagogue concept, and not I'm talking about the inner court of the temple, the priests went there, but the outer court, the synagogue, appears to be a result, many people believe, of the Babylonian exile and the destruction of the temple at that time. And so they set up these sort of community places during this exile where people could come and connect with their faith and not forget the traditions of their faith. And so every community, when Jesus was around, he went to every town. Every town had a little synagogue, probably a lot like we see today. And in that synagogue, it was a place where people came for social gathering and spiritual connection. There was a small platform where there would be speakers or people that would read God's word, and they would stand. The floor was usually dirt and sometimes maybe some flagstones there. And the people would sit, and they would listen to as a man sat and read the Torah, and he would sort of represent in the seat Moses as he spoke forth God's law to them. The local elders governed the synagogue, sort of like a democracy. Typically, every synagogue had a school where the children were taught the Torah. And this synagogue building functioned as this community center, this school, this court, this place where people prayed, where they studied the Word of God. And on the Sabbath, then, it was a place that they came and worshiped God together for prayer. And it wasn't until the first Christians were greatly persecuted that they stopped going daily to the synagogue. And we find that in China, that they're being persecuted, and they have an underground church that meets in these secret places. And it's just, the church is thriving in China. And I know there's a lot of issues, I get this, with the church institution. And I know a lot of you have been really hurt and burned by the church institution and what worship and coming to Sundays. And I know there's a pattern we're getting into that maybe it's not as important as we think. But I just want to speak to you right now. Isolation is not an answer to those problems. We need to come together. And we need to be a church that functions together. Not a building, but a group of people that gather where all the gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts that God has given to us work well together. All the parts of the body are here. And you just can't get that at home. And so I have an ask. If you're able, and I know there are people that aren't. And I'm speaking to those who are able and should. And you're ready. And you're not going to risk it in any way. Make your way back home. Don't let your children growing up not understanding their heritage. Not being exposed to many voices in the kingdom. Not feeling the power of corporate worship when Holy Spirit comes down. Come home. We want to welcome you home. This is our Welcome Home series. And we hope to see you soon. And to those who are home right now, I'm speaking to you that can't. We love you. We understand. We miss you. And please, please let us know how we can connect with you more as you navigate these difficult times. I want to thank you for listening today. If you haven't been a part of our Streams family, whether you're joining us online, you can connect, email us, connect with us in some way. Or whether you're part of our family, please send us an email, connect with us some way. We want to be a family, whether you're here with us on Sunday or not. We hope to see you soon on a Sunday morning. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. If you want to know more about our church, you can go to our website, streamschurch.org. Also, follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. We would love to connect with you. Again, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, have a great week.